ESPN.
I'm Jason Wexler. The guys are live at Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub until 6:30 as Brady's got Champlain Valley game night. UVM looks for its 10th straight America East victory when they clash with Albany. Tonight, Sam Hyman will have the call right here on 101.3 ESPN. Pregame begins at 6:30. NBA trade deadline did not end without some magic. Former Celtic Isaiah Thomas, now a former Cavalier. He's been moved to the Lakers along with Channing Frye and a protected 2018 first-round pick. Cavs get back guard Jordan Clarkson and forward Larry Nance Jr. 49ers have re-signed Jimmy Garoppolo. 5 years, $137.5 million. It's the largest dollar amount per year in NFL history. Champlain Valley Game Night starts right now with Brady Farkas live from the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub until 6:30. This is 101.3 ESPN.
Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Thursday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We go up until 6:30 today, and then we bring you Catamount basketball. Cats on the road taking on their arch rivals from UAlbany, the Great Danes. And what a game it should be. Sam Hyman is sitting courtside right now inside Cefcu Arena inside New York's capital, getting you ready for that game again at 6:30. Cats go into it at 19-5, winners of 12 straight. Albany's 12-1 at home. They have 18 wins on the season, so it should be a good one. And as Will Brown, UAlbany coach, told us yesterday, he thinks they're the only team that has a chance at beating UVM, and he very well may be right, because if UVM wins this game and moves to 10-0 in the league, you have to think they have not only the inside track at winning the league, which they've already got, but an inside track at going 16-0 for the second consecutive year inside America East Conference play. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that's what's really, really attainable if UVM knocks off Albany tonight. So again, we'll send you to Cefcu Arena at 6:30 with Sam Hyman. As for what's coming up on today's show, we'll tell you first, we're live at the Windjammer, the Upper Deck Pub. Come on, hang out. The Labatt Blue Pond Hockey Classic signups are going on at the hotel next door. Everybody's filing in here to eat. There's still a few tables here, so if you're looking for a dinner, come on out. And the Labatt Blue Pond Hockey Classic is going on this weekend. And man, we are ready to have a ton of fun. We've got this show here tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going to be out watching games early, 10 to 1. I'll be there over on the pond, over at on Lake Champlain, over at Mallett's Bay. So that will be a ton of fun as well. I'll be there at 10. Rich will be there on Saturday at 10. And then that'll kind of conclude the weekend for us. But go on out all day Friday, all day Saturday. People are in from all over the Northeast, all over New England, trying to come out to see this tournament. It's 155 teams registered. So if you're looking for some fun, this is the place that you want to do it this weekend. You want to go out. We're on Mallett's Bay. Go over to Rozzi's, have a couple of drinks, have some great food there. That's where the tournament is. That's where the fun commences. So that'll be a blast. But as for what's coming up today, also, Antonio Brown has an offer for Tom Brady. He's got an offer to help Tom Brady. The Steelers wide receiver wants to help the Patriots quarterback. What is that? We'll get you ready more for UVM and Albany. But first, Kobe Altman, Middlebury graduate, and the Cleveland Cavaliers deserve a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of credit for what they did today during the NBA's trade deadline, because what they did isn't easy. The Cavaliers found a way to make themselves better both in the short term and the long term. And usually it doesn't work that way. Usually you're sacrificing one for the other. You're saying, look, we're going to trade away prospects. We're going to trade away draft picks. We're going to hinder our future to try to get better now. Or we're going to trade away pieces. We're going to tank, give away assets that make us worse now in exchange for getting better in the future. Usually it's an inverse relationship. You give up one to get the other. The Cavaliers did the very, very rare thing today. They made themselves better in both the short and the long term. The Cavaliers traded away Isaiah Thomas, nearly 30 years old. The Cavaliers traded away Derrick Rose, who isn't quite 30 years old, but his body feels like it's about 50 years old with all the injuries that he's had and all the melodrama that he's caused during his time in the NBA. You traded away those pieces. You traded away aging Channing Frye, who's in his mid-30s also. And in return, you got back Rodney Hood, athletic, young, 23, can score, can elevate, can play above the rim. You got back Jordan Clarkson, 25, can score, averaging nearly 15 a game this year, 21 over his last eight or so. Larry Nance, who comes in and can rebound and defend and score a little bit. You got all of those guys. You made yourself right now, for the Cavaliers, this team got younger and got more athletic instantly. This team that's looking to contend with the Boston Celtics, with the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference, they got better today. And they didn't sacrifice the future to do it. Because look at what happens now. For the Cavaliers, we don't know if LeBron James is coming back next year. Now, if the team, the newly assembled team, plays well this year, then maybe LeBron wants to stay, and then we know they're instantly better again next year. But even if LeBron leaves, look at what you have. You have with you now. You've got Hood under control for next season also. You've got Clarkson under control for multiple years. You acquired a draft pick in all this from Miami when you traded away Dwayne Wade. So you allowed yourself the opportunity that if LeBron James leaves again, you've still got those young athletic pieces under control. You acquired George Hill, who's got 2 years left on his deal. Now, I know he's 31 or whatever, but he's been there before. He brings some experience, and he brings you some athleticism as well. I mean, the Cavaliers did not have to sacrifice the future in order to get better now. And I think that is something that is absolutely admirable by Coby Altman and company. And for a guy who's a first-year general manager, who had no general manager experience prior to, and he's going into what's a toxic situation with Kyrie Irving, what's a tough situation to navigate with LeBron James, and with an owner that is as volatile as any in sports in Dan Gilbert, Coby Altman deserves to be praised for what he pulled off today. The Cavaliers today are a better team than they were yesterday, and they are also a better team for the long term, because even if LeBron leaves, they're set up well with some teams under, with some guys under control. Big Mike at McGillicuddy's gets in and says, this move is more about next season since LeBron is leaving. And that's fine if you think that. The team got better for next season also. Better now and better for next season. If LeBron stays, great. If LeBron leaves, at least there's something there. And you didn't trade away the Brooklyn Nets pick. What would have been sacrificing the future to only get better now is you've got LeBron James who could very easily leave. If you trade the potential first overall pick in the draft for somebody to just try to win this year and LeBron leaves, then you've sacrificed the future. The Cavaliers didn't do that. Kudos to Coby Altman. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672, you can do so on that Town Fair text line, Town Fair Tire text line that Big Mike just utilized. And what the Cavs have done reminds me a bit of what the Celtics have done. The Celtics got better in the now and the later. And what I mean by that is they traded for Kyrie Irving and they signed Gordon Hayward. And I know Hayward's not playing, but it's the same principle. It still applies. They got better for this season. You look at getting Hayward. You look at getting Irving. They were better this year. But what else about the future? They drafted Jason Tatum. They did not trade that pick. They did not trade Tatum at the deadline. They've allowed themselves to keep their window open. They've kept their window open for a long time. That's what the Cavaliers are trying to do. That's what good organizations can do, but it's very, very difficult in sports to do that. You don't usually get one without the other. Kudos to the Cavaliers. Reminds me of what the Yankees have done as well. You look at that, where they traded some assets, got some prospects for the future, but also went in and invested in the now. When you go and look at, they get Sonny Gray. They go and sign Aroldis Chapman. It's the same kind of principle, and it's easier to do it in baseball because we're dealing with a farm system with a minor league system. You know, what I feel bad for in all this, though, is Isaiah Thomas. I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas because Isaiah Thomas has been hosed in this whole process. Isaiah Thomas, what he did last year for the Celtics, it was heroic. It, whether you like Isaiah or not, whether you think he's a fit for the Celtics long term or wasn't, that's irrelevant. Isaiah Thomas played through personal tragedy, played through debilitating, now we've learned, debilitating injury. And he hurt himself physically by trying to play. By trying to play for the Boston Celtics last year, he hurt himself physically. And what did he do? He got himself traded. He missed half the season. He got himself traded again because he didn't have a training camp. He didn't have half the season to try to get right with LeBron, so the Cavs had to make these kind of moves that we're talking about now. And as a result, a guy who was 1 year away from a max contract possibility is going to be a guy who's viewed as damaged goods, and he's been traded twice inside a year of when he hits free agency. I feel bad for that guy. And I spent a lot of yesterday crushing Josh McDaniels, vilifying Josh McDaniels for leaving the Colts at the altar. It was inexcusable. It was indefensible, as Tony Dungy called it. And a lot of people called it cowardly. And I can't really dispute you on that. I think it was not the proper way to do business. That said, though, when you look at what's happened to Isaiah Thomas, it's hard to feel bad for a team that has it done to them, because this happens to players all the time. And look at what's happened to Isaiah. He gives up money, health, played through personal tragedy for the organization, and then the organization turned around and traded him, and then another organization turned around and traded him. And that is that is tough to deal with if you're Isaiah Thomas. And it's tough to deal with for me as a fan of Isaiah Thomas, but also just as a fan of people. That is somebody who's a good guy who has been dealt a bad hand here at Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Big story broke before the huddle. Jimmy Garoppolo gets that five-year deal, gets that $137.5 million deal. And a lot of people come out of left field and say, hey, too much for a guy who's not established. Too much for a guy who's only started seven games in his career. Oh, seven touchdowns, five picks this year. You should be rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo, not just because he's a former Patriot. If you're a fan of football, you should be rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo. The league needs Jimmy Garoppolo to be good. For a long time, the league had Peyton Manning, and the league had Tom Brady, and the league had Brett Favre, and the league had these guys, Dante Culpepper, at the top of his game for a handful of years. The league, the biggest complaints, if you take out anthem protests and what's a catch and what isn't, and injuries, what's the number four story this year? Well, the quarterback play wasn't very good. Blaine Gabbert, Drew Stanton are starting games. Blake Bortles is getting to the AFC Championship. And Marcus Mariota regressed a lot and wasn't that good. And Jameis Winston wasn't very good. And these guys that we thought would be good haven't quite panned out. And Andy Dalton was terrible. And Tyrod Taylor wasn't interesting. Quarterback play was down across the NFL. You should be rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo, because we need a young, exciting, second wave generation of quarterbacks to come in and keep football strong and make football more interesting, because football's more interesting when there's better quarterback play, because the season becomes less predictable. This year, I mean, what did you have, really? You had Brady, you had Wilson, you had Drew Brees, and then it was the year of the backup. I mean, we're talking about Case Keenum, we're talking about Nick Foles, and we're talking about Blaine Gabbert being starting quarterbacks. That's not what we want. When we go through the NFL season and we've got young quarterbacks like Garoppolo and like Jared Goff, and then you look at a quarterback class coming in that could be what people think is transcendent, when you talk about Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, you've got those guys. And then you pair them with other, you know, they're still young, but they're seasoned in the league. When you pair those young guys with Russell Wilson, and then even more aging a little bit, Matt Ryan, now the league starts to materialize again as a quarterback league. The league starts to get more interesting. You should be rooting for Garoppolo to play well, because we need more young quarterbacks to keep the league interesting, because we don't need the Blaine Gabberts of the world starting a lot of meaningful games in the NFL. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. John in South Burlington said the Colts lied about the health of Luck. Number one, no one with half a brain would coach them. Shut up, Brady, he says. Well, I don't know that they lied about Andrew Luck. Until that comes out, and I'm sorry, medical records don't get released, but until that comes out, then I don't know that. Everything I'd heard was that Andrew Luck was trending towards being healthy again. So it's only recently now that we're hearing maybe there was a setback. But nonetheless, remember who the Colts just played with. They just played with Jacoby Brissett, who, by the way, Josh McDaniels has a pretty good relationship with from coaching in New England. So if Josh McDaniels had any confidence in himself, he could win with Brissett for a year again and get another quarterback. Look at the free agent class there is. He could have gone to Indy and tried to sign Kirk Cousins. He could have gone to Indy and tried to deal for another quarterback. He could have tried to deal for Nick Foles. There's other options there. Even if you thought that Andrew Luck was out forever, there were options there. Champlain Valley game night here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, going up until 6:30, and then we bring you Catamount basketball, and the Cats taking on Albany in what really is the last true test for UVM. The last game of the year in the league, they're going to take on Stony Brook on the road. There's potential there for something interesting to happen, but this is really the best chance that UVM has to lose. And we're not rooting for that, but it's just you're looking and saying if there's one more game in the schedule that they're going to have to tough it out through, it is this one. I mean, UAlbany is well coached. Will Brown is the best coach in the league, to my opinion. Now, that's not anything to do with John Becker not being good. It has everything to do with Will Brown's experience. He's been at Albany almost 20 years. He's been to the tournament 5 times. He nearly pulled off an upset against the number one overall seed in the tournament twice. His team was up 10 with 9 minutes to go against UConn back in like 07. His team was within 3 of number one Florida with 4 minutes to play just a few years ago when they were the number one overall seed in the tournament. So I've seen Will Brown do it. I have ultimate respect for what he does as a coach, both before game and in game in terms of adjustments. And then you look at what they bring to the table. They do have a diversified skill set on their roster. They've got 2 dynamic guards. When they're both on, they are dynamic guards. David Nichols and Joe Cremo can go off like no other guards in this league. Travell Haynes and Ernie Duncan can do it too, but it's more regular with Nichols and Cremo. They can go for 20-25 on the drop of a dime. But I just don't see them both doing it today, and that's the issue. That's why I don't think Albany can win this game, because I don't see the relentlessness of the UVM defense allowing both of those guys to go off. Travell Haynes is wired too well defensively and is too determined defensively to let one of those guards go off in his face. I just don't see it. Maybe one of them goes for 22, but I don't see whichever one Travell Haynes is guarding going for 22 also. If one gets 22 and one gets 7, then UVM wins this game handily because Albany needs both their guards to score. And I just don't see it happen. Shane in Burlington gets in. He goes, what's a trade offer that would make you pull the trigger on a Foles trade if you were GM? By the way, totally agree on McDaniels. Complete punk move and shouldn't happen at that level. So we'll go back to the NFL for a second. I assume you're saying, what's the deal that I would take if I were the Eagles for Nick Foles, I presume, as opposed to what I would offer? Well, Field Yates told us that maybe a second-round pick or something. I think you have to look at it and say, if I'm the Eagles, I want a first-round pick. If Jimmy Garoppolo got a second with a 7-game sample size, a 2-game sample size, I'm sorry, and Nick Foles has now started a ton of games in this league and has won a Super Bowl, I'm asking for a first-round pick. And if you're not going to give me a first, then I'll take a second and a fourth, or I'll take a second and a player, something like that. But Nick Foles has 1 year left on his deal, and I know that it's a business. You don't have to flood me with the it's a business Brady responses. And I know this is naive to think this way. The league isn't wired this way, but come on. If Nick Foles could be a starter somewhere, do him a solid. Let him go be that starter somewhere. And I know teams don't think that. They'll hold on to him if they don't get the right offer. They'll keep him on the bench. They'll keep him as insurance again for Wentz. And that's probably fine. That probably is the right answer organizationally. You have the best problem there is to have in the NFL. You have 2 good quarterbacks now. But Nick Foles' value is never going to be higher than what it is now. The guy just won you a Super Bowl. As long as you know that Wentz is coming back healthy, and you might not know that for a little while, as long as you know Wentz is healthy, then Foles is not going to play for you. He won you a Super Bowl. He's etched in your franchise's lore. Allow him to be a starter somewhere else. And if you want to put stipulations on it, hey, we won't trade you in the division, which they really don't need to, right? There's no, none of those teams need a quarterback like Nick Foles. But what about, okay, we won't trade you in the NFC. So fine, we won't let you play in Arizona. We won't let you play in, I can't even think. There are not many other teams in the NFC need quarterbacks right now. Minnesota's got three of them. They're trying to figure out what to do. Detroit doesn't need one. Green Bay doesn't need one. Chicago doesn't need one with Trubisky. New Orleans doesn't. Carolina doesn't. Atlanta doesn't. Tampa doesn't. So outside of Arizona, the NFC is pretty much wrapped up in quarterback. If Buffalo wants him, then I would do it. I would do him the solid as long as the offer is fair. And I would say, look, I'm asking for a first, or I'm asking for a second and a player, or I'm asking for a second and a fourth, something like that. I think that that's fair, and I think it's the right thing to do by Nick Foles. But you and I both know that the NFL does not work that way. The NFL is not wired that way. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Did you see this story where Antonio Brown is clowning the Patriots and clowning Tom Brady and clowning his old teammate James Harrison? After the Super Bowl loss, Antonio Brown, Steelers wide receiver, put on Instagram a post that said, hey, at James Harrison, tell your guy at Tom Brady, and he added him, said, I know he lost his trainer, so if he wants to get those hands right this offseason, he can call me, basically. And he had a picture of Brady dropping the pass from Danny Amendola. First off, that's a dig at James Harrison because he's reminding Harrison that, hey, you left our team and you didn't win. It's a dig at Brady because he's showing the picture of Brady dropping the pass and he directed the message at Brady also. So it's a dig at both of them, and it's a dig at Brady because he lost his trainer, means Alex Guerrero had his access denied to the field. Antonio Brown, this is tough, man, because Antonio Brown is fun. We like Antonio Brown because of what he can do on the field. But Antonio Brown and the rest of the Steelers are becoming unlikable. Between Ben Roethlisberger's past and his legal issues in the past, which people won't let go, and rightfully so. Between his legal issues in the past, between Le'Veon Bell's constant infatuation with the Patriots, between his tweeting before the game, between his contract demands, between his holding out in training camp, between Antonio Brown getting flagged all last season for two risque touchdown celebrations, to his Facebook Live of the locker room, to trolling Tom Brady. And there's too much baggage going on right now in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers are becoming unlikable. And they've always been tough and hard-nosed, so maybe you didn't like them because they were too physical and they were always competitive in the AFC. That's one thing. They are genuinely becoming just an unlikable group of guys right now, and they're great, so that's what's tough. The league needs to hold on to these guys and market them, but what they are putting out there constantly through social media and through the regular media, through the traditional media, that is not at all what the NFL needs. All right, that'll do it for us here at the Windjammer and Upper Deck Pub. Remember, they sponsor Champlain Valley Game Night every day. You can come on, hang out. Some seats still open. The Pond Hockey Classic signups are going on. I'll be out there on Mallets Bay tomorrow, 10 a.m., playing some music, hanging out, watching the games. Rich will be there on Saturday. Arnie's got a pub crawl on Friday night. He's going to be down on Church Street with these guys all getting ready to play. So what a blast it has been here today. Thank you to the people at the Windjammer and the Upper Deck Pub, one of our favorite places to be. Thank you to Jason back in the studio. We got Arnie here. We got Rich here. Thanks to those guys as well. UVM basketball is next. Cats taking on Albany on the road. Nationally televised as well. Sam Hyman on the pregame show. He is live at Sefcu Arena, so we'll take you there after the break. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we'll see you tomorrow on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo.
Coming up Friday, we go live to South Korea to check in with the Olympics opening ceremony, plus the latest from the NBA trade deadline.
All right, guys, what are some of your favorite Valentine's Day